Okay.
Okay.
And let's talk beyond this bonus now.
Good morning. How's everyone doing today? Great? Ready? Excited? Okay. So my name is Michael Windsor. I am the co-founder of a project called Alpha Omega. We were started in 2022 with the goal of improving open source security. We have, over the past several years, donated around $20 million towards improving security and open source. It's a huge problem, obviously, and you know, we started early on realizing, well, even if we have a lot of money, we can't do all the things. And so our focus has always been around creating change, catalyzing improvements that then take off and do things for themselves. And pretty excited about the opportunity. When we think about how to do things, the alpha sort of represents our ability to do leveraged change, things where we can work in with a specific individual and entire ecosystem. So one of my favorite examples is in the Python ecosystem. It was nobody's job there to worry about security, or it was everybody's job, same thing. And we were able to fund a security engineer in residence named Seth Larson, who has continuously just improved the culture of security, the tooling of security, the standards of security across the entire Python ecosystem. And in fact, his work has spread to other language ecosystems as well. The scale problem is actually really hard. And this is one of the things we're talking about today, which is we want to be able to get so that solutions can just be applied to the hundreds of thousands of projects that are not sort of directly tied to either a language ecosystem or a package repository or some sort of point of leverage. How do we solve for the rest, everything? And it's not easy. And I want to talk about just the trends that we're facing. So as a maintainer of an open source project, you know, you might build out an SBOM of your stuff, and you have a bunch of stuff upstream. You're consuming a large amount of open source packages. And in fact, I would say until sort of the XZutils event, people just assumed that everything I get from upstream is great. It came down on the back of a unicorn with rainbows and everything, and I don't have to worry about that problem, right? Which is ironically just as bad as all the corporations we complain about consuming our open source without giving a shit about how it get made, right? And these numbers are not good, right? They only get worse. They get bigger and bigger and bigger. We get log jams as well, where people can't upgrade, so they can't patch the vulnerability, and now you have a problem as well. And so the force that this represents creates a lot of work, right? As a maintainer, you now have to look at every CVE in your upstream, or as a consumer, same problem, and you have to decide, do I upgrade or not? Is this a risk to me or not, right? And the default answer is upgrade all the things. Which, if you look at how it multiplies across your work, it's one thing. But now if you imagine a deep hierarchy of projects, there's a geometric explosion of work shared across lots of people. Great, okay, it's shared, but it's still a ton of work, and it will not all get done. And so that cascade of work here is really what creates the risk that we're worried about. So is that landed my slides? I think so. No, okay, thank you. So how can we reduce the geometric pain here, right? Well, you can't change the geometry of it, but you can change the constants and some of the multipliers here, right? And so if the spam of vulnerabilities, you could look at it and say, well, not all of these vulnerabilities are actually going to affect my code. And everybody can do that downstream. Then we take this very big Y and find out, and we can hopefully narrow the volume down and make it smaller and make it manageable at scale, right? And that's really what we're here to talk about today. So with that, I'll tee off to Piotr, thanks very much.
All right, it worked. Hi, my name is Piotr Karwasz. I'm a maintainer of Apache Log4j in Commons and a security team member of the ASF. This is the SBOM room. You certainly know what an SBOM is. How many of you have already heard of VEXES? Okay, so It's a big number, for those that never heard about this, AVEX is a machine-readable format to express the fact that a vulnerability that is contained in your application is actually exploitable. The abbreviation stands for Vulnerability Exploitability Exchange. OpenSSF produced a very nice document a couple of a week ago, I think, where they analyze where these are used. So we know that big companies like Microsoft, Red Hat, OpenSUSE, Cisco, ServiceNow, these all use VEXES. Some of those companies put VEXES as a requirement for all their contractors. Why VEXES are important in these days? Well, this was already in Anthony's slides. The CRA says we found known exploitable vulnerabilities, except for us, I stress, exploitable. I knew about VEXES. I learned about VEXES in 2023 from the source, from Steve Springett. And he warned me, it's very, very expensive. Of course, I had to verify that. And so that's what happens if you do it by hand. Every day an engineer gets, there are around 100 CVEs that are published. You need to check if the CVE actually applies to your application. Nowadays, we have SBOMs, so that's easy, fortunately. Then you have to understand what's written in the CVE. Some CVEs are very well written, some are very, very badly written. Then you have to dive in all the calls, the trace from your application to the library, if this is a library which is 7 dependency levels deep. You have to look at a lot of code, assess if this is exploitable, and repeat for each version, because each version changes the call path. This is very expensive. Last year, I met Munawar, guess in which room, so thank you, Alexis, for organizing the dev room. And we decided to experiment if we can do VEXES for open source projects. So we know that VEXES for an open source project will certainly improve the confidence that commercial vendors or downstream projects will have in the project, but unfortunately, at the time, were very, very expensive. Okay.
So let's talk about the cost that Peter and Michael were mentioning. So if you are a large organization, that's why, so you encounter about 700,000 update decisions every year, and if each one of them, when you're generating the VEX documents, it takes on average 10 hours. That takes about 7 million hours, which is about 3,365 person years. Even if you get cheap labor, that's about $400 million per year. That's why organizations find that it is very expensive. It's actually even more than that. This is like assuming the lower side of things. We have heard from experts in this area that for those organizations, generating one VEX documents requires about $500,000. So this is a very expensive problem right now. And if organizations find it expensive, it's just impossible for maintainers. So think of Apache Solar, with whom we're working, and they have about 460 dependencies. About 300 CVEs are found on average on these dependencies every year. Again, with 10 hours per VEX, that's about 3,000 hours, about 1.5 person years of dedicated work in order to generate that. That's also impossible for maintainers. So that's why, even though this is needed, this is the adoption right now is not there, because we are still trying to figure out how to do it at scale. If we, however, is able to do that, there's benefits of that. There was a study from SEMGRIP when they did post-analysis of their SCA results, and they found out that 97% of the bugs that they find when they do these SCA, they are actually false positives, as in those are not reachable. So if VEX documents, or somehow you find out whether a vulnerability is reaching you or not, and you can eliminate that 97% of the toil, then all of those compounding numbers suddenly become tenable. So that's the idea where we come in. So how do we generate VIX? Here's a simple idea. So let's say you have an upstream package A, which is used by a package B, which is used by a package C, which is used by a package D, and there is a vulnerability that was reported in package A. The question is that vulnerability reachable from package D or not? So how do we define that reachability? The way we do that is we create call graphs of A, B, C, and D, then try to find a path from B, which is the downstream package of interest, all the way to the place where the vulnerable code resides in A. So the first problem that we are solving here is to find out which part of A is vulnerable. So that's what we call root cause analysis. So we have a component which is a root cause. We have written an AI agent that we call the root cause analysis component of this puzzle. And what that does is, given a particular CVE and a particular package, it identifies a set of methods or functions that, when executed, that vulnerability would be manifested. Then we also have to calculate the call graphs for each one of those intermediary chains, and find those call graphs. And that's going to give you a lay of the terrain, like how are the methods one calling each other. And once that is there, once those two components are there, then you can write a simple stitcher that's just going to hop from one method to another, and eventually you are trying to find out whether you are reaching to that particular vulnerability or not. Now, remember, we are using the term reachability here. There is a more stronger term, exploitability, which is, even though you are calling something, it may or may not be exploitable. That's an even harder problem. We are not even going there. We are just solving or trying to solve the reachability problem. So as I explained the three components, we have released as open source with the work that was funded by Alpha Omega, these three components that find the root cause, generate the call graphs, and then also do that stitching in order to create these VEX documents. And the link over there that shows the repo org that's in GitHub that stores these things, these components. Right now, this is supporting only Java ecosystem, so the call graph is the one where it is language dependent. The root cause analysis, it looks at different kinds of, it's an AI agent, so it looks at different kind of CVEs and attempts to find the root cause in that particular language. But the call graph service is limited to Java, so that's why this whole thing that we are demonstrating is specific for Java language or Java packages. So how does this help? So let me tell you an anecdotal story that happened last year. So this was April 1, 2015, when there was a vulnerability that was found in Apache Park at Avro. This was CVE 2025-30065. And around April 15, Piotr, who has access to these internal conversations inside Apache ecosystem, got this to our attention, like, okay, there's a conversation that's going on that should we fix that vulnerability or not. So let's try to see if we can fix that. If that is reachable or not. So the chain was very simple there. It was just like Apache Hadoop is calling Parquet. However, the Parquet Avro is shaded. So if you are looking for binaries, it's not able to find that. However, we are working at source code level, so we are able to find that dependency chain. We started working on April 16. At that time, the technology was not fully developed, so it was partially manual, so it took us some time. But by April 18, we generated the VIX documents. The result was that it was not reachable. So we explained that, created that VIX document, created an explanation of why we are finding it that, and we shared it with that team. So we got the response that they were going to do the update anyway for other reasons, for compatibility reasons, but they appreciate the fact. And this is they're mentioning whether this can be done in a CI/CD pipeline or some other way by those maintainers. So if the tooling is available, there's active interest in people trying to adopt that. So that's where we, and there's also another side part of the story that there were two other additional vulnerabilities that they were exploring at that particular point. Those two were, however, exploitable. Both of them were reachable. And they did the fix, but one after 12 months, the other one after 18 months. So with the absence of Vex-like help, it's hard for people to prioritize the vulnerabilities, like which one to fix, which one to prioritize, because there are so many of them coming at you, and which one you do have to fix. So we created those Vex documents. Both of them were exploitable, and they were eventually fixed. So that's a specific case study that happened, and that also motivated us to create these Vex documents and basically see like how we can integrate that with the CI/CD pipeline of the Apache Software Foundation projects.
So I just want to, you know, recap a little bit here. Right? We have a lot of information flowing through the SBOM-driven CVE sort of pipeline that creates toil for everybody downstream, from individual maintainers along the way to the end user applications, you know, whether it's Airflow or Solr or whatever. The toil is spectacular. Manohar talked about how this is for Java today. This is actually based on work that was done for a project called Caps Lock that does call graph analysis, and initially was done for Go, and now there are versions of this for Java and Rust as well. It is a strong belief of mine that call graphs need to become normally available because they provide all kinds of interesting opportunities. This is just one example of things that we can do when you have call graphs available to do static analysis and richer analysis on your code to understand where things are happening, what the risks are, even to generate more effective unit tests to validate your Hiram's Law contracts. So this is a beginning of an experiment across a whole bunch of things about reducing toil for maintainers at every stage of a secure software development pipeline. So I'm particularly, I think we're sort of approaching time here, and we want to have some time for questions as well. I am particularly glad to thank Piotr and Manohar for their work on this project to get us to this stage here. The most important thing you can do is engage. If this is interesting to you and you want to be able to do this kind of things to your world, show up. There's links. Start asking for help. See if you can use it. Tell us what we're doing wrong, etc. Right? This is a classic early stage open source project where all of your PRs are very welcome. So again, thank you both for the work you're doing. Sure. Thank you for the time today. We'll take some questions now. We have plenty of time because they've been warning me about time left, and we like questions more than we like talking. So
thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, we can start here, I'll go up. Yes.
So we're going to repeat the questions, but you're close, so I'll bring the microphone to you.
So I would guess a valid ingredient of, or basic ingredient of all your, what you suggest would be that the vulnerability report comes with a call graph or describing under which condition it could be used. I mean, machine readable.
I mean, this should be like the CI/CD pipeline that we create.
We're good.
So the CI/CD pipeline that we created, this runs with as a GitHub Actions, and this finds all of these info. You do have to provide some stuff, but basically, right now there's this metadata GitHub repository. That's where we are storing the results that we're calculating for future. Like other people can use it. Once we calculate a call graph, there's no reason for somebody else to calculate that call graph again. So right now we're doing the easiest way, which is storing this in GitHub. But we are open to, I mean, that's actually one of the areas that that we mentioned in our future work that like we should really figure out like how to make it reusable and for others.
Yes. Yeah, so we can also consider integrating it into the project. So we chose Solr because among its dependencies there are many projects that I work from on, so it's easy to convince those projects to publish it in the GitHub repo.
We're gonna go to the back.
All the way to the back, yes.
If you have a call graph and you have reachability, can you update the toolchains to eliminate symbols, functions, libraries that are unused, such that you don't actually have those CVEs present if they're never called?
I repeat the question. If you have the call graph and you have the reachability, can you update the libraries to remove the symbols that are not used?
So this is a problem I've been thinking about for a while.
Can you
I'm sorry, I'm off camera. There you go, I was hiding. And there's a lot of ways to think about this problem, right? So this particular project is about helping you understand the reachability and exploitability ultimately, or aiding your evaluation of that in a set of projects where you're not modifying your dependencies to suit your needs. But it is obviously very interesting to think about what you can do, what you can do to effectively fork and maintain a subset of your dependencies so that you're reducing your attack surface in a variety of ways based on your usage of it. Similarly, you can also generate unit tests that validate your contract or shim layers that sanitize your calls and to give you exactly the kind of control over that layer. So this is why I'm excited about making call graphs more normal, because this kind of operation used to be a lot of work to think about or a heavy maintenance burden, now becomes a normal thing you could imagine. Spun up a thing that says, go look at this dependency, evaluate the calling patterns, generate unit tests for me that validate my contract with this. I call it Hiram's tests. And it worked really well. It was great. So we'll take the next question, Noah.
Yes, on the, all the way
back. All the way back.
So right now, so the question is, if we have multiple languages, can we use this, like basically use it to like go through call graphs across different language boundaries, right? Yes. The answer is, right now we don't do that, but these are created in a modular way, as in each of the call graphs are in separate files. And so if you're doing stitching, once you identify the functions, it's just a matter of just stitching one across another. So theoretically, it can be done. Back in the academia, like 10 years ago, I did, like my students did the original work on like doing multiple language analysis, static analysis of stuff. It excites me. It's just not done yet. But I mean, theoretically, it can be done. Thank you. Yes.
I just want to say, we just finished getting this working the first time, and you're already asking for cross-platform, cross-language support. Okay, so yes. I have a statement for you. PR is welcome, sir.
Yes. I'll be back to you.
You mentioned that you support Google Rust for graphs also. What's the limitation on preventing them to be part of the whole system?
Could you repeat the question? If you just look for Google Go Caps Lock, you'll find the original project that was built. Generates a call graph, but what's also really doing is doing an analysis of the underlying capabilities that your call graph enables. So system calls down to network, environment, file system, whatever accesses the sort of standard library is providing, so you can understand what capabilities your dependency graph is imposing on your process and essentially enabling. That was a Go-specific thing. Alpha Omega funded ports or implementations of Caps Lock and call graph analysis to both Rust and Java. Those are still ongoing efforts, but that's sort of the state of affairs right now.
But the question is that why cannot we use Caps Locks in this ecosystem?
The question is why can't we use Caps Lock? So Caps Lock is basically creating these call graphs to find out whether capabilities reach you or not. We are talking about whether vulnerabilities reach you or not. It's essentially the same problem. In our case too, the call graphs that we have generated, they're generated in Caps Lock format, so they're reusable. And that's why like this can also go across multiple boundaries once we create these across other. There's a standard format that was originally created by Google that is now can be reusable.
And there's a working group if you want to join that too.
Yes. Okay, here.
So the question was, I'm an open source maintainer, and I occasionally, sometimes, fix vulnerabilities in my own code. I mean, that seems nice. And so you're asking, why do I care about this? I think that as a maintainer, fixing vulnerabilities seems like a good idea. I approve that. As a maintainer who cares about how people downstream are having to deal with the changes you make. So when you make a patch to a vulnerability, right, you're saying, I fixed this problem, right? Great. And if everybody could pick up your update immediately, all through the cascading effects of that transitive graph, you know, you fix all the vulnerabilities, everybody just picks up updates, no problem. But in practice, the cost for everybody to pick up your updated version, you know, this is just a habit. People will stick, they'll use Dependapot to pick up the latest version right up until the build breaks, and then they pin it and don't change it until somebody forces them. And so your act of doing vulnerability reachability analysis on your own vulnerabilities creates a statement that tells people and helps people understand whether or not they need to take up your fix right now, or to that gentleman up there's point of view, we don't use that part of the code, or we sanitize our inputs, so we're okay. We're not going to pick up his patch this week. We'll wait till our patch Tuesday next week and do something differently.
DevEx is something that is produced not but by the project that that has the vulnerability but by downstream projects. So I started being interested in CVEs when Kafka wanted to integrate Log4j, but they said, oh, wait. Log4j depends on many parsers, and now parsers generate 70 CVEs per minute, which will make Kafka much generate a lot of work to Kafka. So my answer to that is no. If we generate a VEX file in Log4j, and we say that all those parsers are only used on trusted code, so all the VEXs will be not affected, then there is less work upstream, downstream.
All right, we are out of time. We'll continue to take questions outside in the fresh air where we can all breathe fresh air. Thank you very much for your time today. Thank you.